listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Boy, are you ever. Anything can happen on a day like today.
Anything can happen.
Like
you know
did.
What? A good gift for me would be a watch. I think it would be a nice thing to consider. It's the first time we've done that. That's all listeners. We started
in 150 some odd shows.
We
right?
started, 150 shows. We started a minute early. For some reason, it started a minute early. And now we have to create all the magical banter.
That was.
Recreate the magical banter that was.
It wasn't that magical.
Yes. Wasn't it?
No. not so.
We'll just say it had something to do. It's something to do with tight pants. It's tight pants. And
tight pants.
I find, I think
well,
you're.
I think you started off the show by calling me gorgeous. So we can start there.
How did I know you would remember that?
Yeah, well,
how did I know you'd remember that? Yeah. Anyway, now we're on time. I was a little thrown.
I know
Ronan
you were.
Doesn't normally come up
he
behind me like
especially
that.
Especially with that kind of a look
being,
on his
being
face,
of Italian
right?
descent, as you know, I don't like to sit with my back to any doorway. So just now that, glad that's all
behind us
out.
Now.
Yes,
yeah,
go
so
ahead.
So. Okay. Yes, sir. So let's just start this right now, right? We'd like to thank our sponsor, ladies and gentlemen. Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Express, or Breakdown Services, I should say, visit them at Breakdown Express. Yes, BreakdownExpress.com.
BreakdownExpress.com. Yes, let's try to get the sponsor's website right, if we could.
don't lay it on me now.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
And you know, ladies and gentlemen, we have two, not one, but two of the best actors in town with us today in studio. Our first guest is a popular Los Angeles musical theater star whose work as a composer can be seen on stage now through March 2nd, this weekend, in the new musical Right Together, Left Together, a collaborative effort with a book and lyrics by Pamela Everhart, now at the Grove Theater Center in Burbank, California. Say hello to Will Collier.
Hey,
how are you?
Will.
Hello, hello.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Appreciate having you here.
Good He's got
you.
That composer look today.
Composer or composed?
Composer.
Well, compared to Ronnie Orbach, anyone is composed.
Anyone is imposed?
Imposed, yes. Well, I didn't want to mention
Those
your imposition.
Freudian slips. Can't
but
live without them.
Speaking of Freudian slips, I think we have a glitch here in the script. Actually, you're going to be our second guest,
I'm
Will.
Yes, I know. Michael. No, I meant the first one. I was just...
Oh, okay. Don't lose me in your technical jargon. Anyway, the second guest we're introducing, but the first guest
there
we're going to be speaking to
there you go.
Is back on the boards and better than ever, distinguished actor and longtime friend who's starring in a hugely popular revival of the hit murder mystery I'll Be Back Before Midnight, making its Los Angeles debut at Burbank's beautiful Colony Theater. Ron Orbach is here.
Yeah. Thank you. Stop it. Come on now.
We walked up the stairs together, Ron.
We did.
Did you?
Studio.
Yes.
Yeah. It was
and
exhausting.
And they said you were a fool to dream, Michael.
We stopped in the middle and said, why the hell are we taking this stairway?
Yeah.
Those are the stairways to success, right?
Because I'm a little winded now.
The elevator here is
questionable.
Very
funky.
Trepidatious. Our very first show that we ever did, we had Carol Lawrence.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Was our first guest. Yeah. She got stuck in the elevator, was not happy. Was not a lovely woman.
On a holiday.
On a holiday.
The building was closed, only the front door wasn't even open.
Oh,
we had to... How does she get in? She never really... She got in by herself?
She got in.
She
went to the wrong building. She came here. She got stuck in the elevator. She sat down, and 2 minutes into the interview, she dumped her entire water in her lap.
Oh, my God.
Over a very beautiful and expensive dress.
Sat in a puddle of water the entire time.
Sat in a puddle of water, never once mentioned it, never once squirmed, never said anything.
What a pro.
She was.
What a trooper.
Yes, she was.
And then 3 episodes later, we had Carol Channing on, and she was a call-in. Mm. And Carol Channing and a speakerphone on a call-in radio show, the audio nightmare of the ages. It was very difficult. But before we get to you two, Michael, how was your week?
My week was good. It was pretty good. It was full
questions
of,
get harder as we continue.
Well, you know, I was just reading something. You pulled me right off of what I was.
Sorry.
How dare you?
I know. I'm in a snarky mood.
You are.
You're snarky. Hey, you know what? It was you mocking my rosacea before the show started.
You don't have rosacea. You silly man.
Does that mean we can't mock it?
No, you still can. Okay, it's a lesion. Thanks for pointing that out.
Oh, gosh.
No, how was your week?
You know, it was...
It has to be a little calmer than it has been, given all that L.A.'s Next Great Stage Star finally come to a close.
You would think, wouldn't you? But, you know, we've just taken all of those lovely contestants. We're 20 contestants in our musical theater competition this year, and we've been placing them with all of the agent judges who come through the competition. So, you know, it was like swimming with sharks for the past 10 days or so with the agents. I mean that respectfully because they're a good group of people. They just all have their lists. They want to see certain people, and they're all vying to get that new talent signed on a contract and to start working with them. So that was really kind of frenzy. And for these kids that are fresh out of USC or still in college, UCLA, UCI, Fullerton, all of those schools, it's a world that they're not accustomed to. Yeah. So they're on the phone with us. Like,
it's a little bit of hand-holding.
Kids with their parents.
Yeah.
But it certainly was, it all turned out very well in that sense. Most of them got signed. Almost all of them got signed.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Wow. Yeah. So that's always a nice thing to start a new
It's
year.
Nice because it's not just a competition. It's also like, I'm going to say public service, but it's a nice little, you know, it's not just like so many of the TV shows where you're just exploiting the people and as soon as the show's over, it's the next batch in. But
exactly.
You do follow up and everything.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Yeah, they've had private auditions. They've been getting hired, some of them.
Wow.
One of them starring in Spring Awakening, coming up for Rigby McCoy.
Wow.
Got that job. His first interview sent out by the agent. The first one booked it. Boom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wish that competition had been around when I graduated from
college.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but you were a big award winner at UCLA.
I won a couple awards at UCLA.
You won the Carol Burnett Award.
I did. I won the Carol Burnett Award.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did Supper Time from Your Good Man Charlie Brown.
Yes. I did that role myself.
Did you?
Yeah, I did Snoopy.
I just about killed myself doing that special performance because I had been recreating a gig from high school where I knew the choreography and I was doing a show with Reprise at the time that the competition came around. So I basically spent like 2 hours rehearsing it and then went up on stage and. I mean, my professor was scared for me. I almost fell off the stage. It worked, though. So.
Yeah. Ron, didn't you do Charlie Brown, too?
Never have.
Really?
No.
Seems to me that you would be suited for that.
Think perhaps.
Yeah.
I'm available.
You'd be a good student. Can I talk to you after the show?
Another few weeks, I'll be ready.
Well, good. How about your week?
My week was good. Actually, very, very good. I'm as you know, I have this short film that I'm going to be filming at the end of March called Beating. And we did this Indiegogo campaign to raise $15,000 for our costs for the film. And with 7 days left in the campaign, we're $700 from the goal. So
amazing.
Really just $14,000
really
and something. And we got a lot of private donations, too. So actually, right now, we're even over the goal. But it's going to be good.
Well, that shows you who your friends are and that you're a good person.
Yeah, I know. I feel like George Bailey.
Really?
I feel like George Bailey.
But exactly. You look like George Clooney.
I do. Well, you need to get out more. Okay. Our first guest made his Broadway debut in Neil Simon's Laughter on the 23rd Floor, and he also starred in the show's Chicago premiere, a phenomenal production, if I might say so myself, and the first U.S. national tour. He was also featured as Amos Hart in the first national tour of Chicago the Musical, best man to ever play that role.
Wow.
He recently starred opposite Jason Alexander in the L.A. production of The Prisoner of Second Avenue and can be seen currently on stage in the critically acclaimed L.A. hit play I'll Be Back by Midnight, which is just extended through March 17th at the Colony Theater in beautiful Burbank, California. Please welcome the award-winning Mr. Ronnie Orbach.
Play on music.
Can I keep that to follow me whenever I go?
Music or the whole intro?
The intro, too, is kind of nice. I like it.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good to see you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Glad to have you back. We've actually had both of you on before. Nice. It's old home week here.
Yeah.
So, Ronnie, this show, we talked about it briefly yesterday, but for the listeners, because I'm a real fan for these old school thriller, murder, mystery type things. Can you give sort of a synopsis without giving anything away?
Well, that's the tough thing, isn't it? I was thinking about how do I talk about it without tipping anything. No. You know, it is a wonderfully written piece by Peter Colley, a Canadian gentleman who has had the show done. It's been done all over the world, apparently.
But never here.
Like 1,000 times.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
It's been done in Denmark, Shanghai, London, kind of all over the place. It is a sort of a psychological thriller. It's a four-character piece. A couple comes to a kind of a farmhouse that appears to possibly be haunted.
Okay.
I am the a quirky, lovable caretaker who, you know, sort of ushers them through the place.
Doesn't quirky really precede all your roles, Ron? Have you ever played a role
much.
That's not quirky?
Pretty much, yeah. Non-quirky, just I don't do.
I don't do quirkless.
No, I can't. I'm too riddled with quirks. Reeking of quirks.
Reeking of quirks.
But and then there's a fourth character of the sister of the protagonist who comes to visit. You know, hijinks ensue.
Right.
It's different than your average thriller, I think.
Right. Sounds like there's a little more going on. Sounds like there's a
little
more
depth. There is.
Yeah.
And what's wonderful about it is it's a terrific cast of the four actors are Tyler Pierce, Joanna Strapp, Kate Mayer, and myself.
Oh, it's just a four-hander,
It's just a four-hander,
okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I've never done one of these before. I always admired them, you know, things like Sleuth and Death Trap, Wait Until Dark.
Mousetrap, yeah.
Yeah, I never had done one. And so it's been kind of a wonderful eye-opening experience, you know. I'm used to getting laughs. I'm used to even making people cry. People, you know, shriek and run out of the theater. But to hear people, you know, gasp and scream and then laugh, you know, kind of hysterically from
the nervous energy.
Is sort of thrilling.
That's true. I didn't think about that, but that's an experience that now has so been dominated by films.
Yes.
It's like you go to films to get scared. You don't go to theater to get scared. Mm-hmm. And you only have to look back at historically. I mean, Mousetrap was the longest running show ever. Agatha Christie's Mousetrap was for about 30 years it was. I think it ran for like 30 years. The only thing that ever challenged Fantastics in terms of that.
Wow.
And Death Trap. And one of the great, you know, frightening plays that became a great movie, Wait Until Dark.
I was just going to say that, Paul. It's like one of my very favorite plays and films.
Yeah.
Actually. Especially Audrey Hepburn's
And what I like about this piece is that a lot of the suspense is psychological in that... We're not sure that the character Joanna plays has just come out of some time in a mental hospital. So she's quite vulnerable, and it sort of loads up even more upon her, you know, that she's so fragile. But then she takes a surprising journey through which she kind of triumphs in the end. So.
Yep. I know it's very difficult to give too much detail.
I know, I can't really tell you much more.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm just happy to hear that it was extended now
for
another 2 weeks before its original closing date. Primarily, as Ron and I were talking, the Colony Theater is one of the great theaters. It's always had a tremendous foundation and following here in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And like everything else in recent years, it's become a little bit challenged economically, and we're all fighting for those almighty dollars to get people in to the doors of a theater, and they certainly have been. And so to have a hit on their hand that they're extending, that's really a sweet
thing. It does all of our hearts so much good. Barbara Beckley, as you know,
she's
is
very hard worker.
One of the great people for theater in Los Angeles. She's been running this place for, gosh.
Oh, she's the artistic director.
Yeah. For, I don't know, 30 plus years. And she's so determined and so passionate about what she does. And, you know, we didn't know what we had with this show in the beginning. It was a bit of a rocky rehearsal period, a lot of uncertainty. So for us to reach the point where it was worthy of being extended was just a wonderful, you know, result. And, you know, for all of us, of course, but mostly for the theater, I feel really, really happy about that, because it's a place, there aren't, as you all know, too many mid-sized equity houses still functioning in this town.
Exactly.
And we got to do all we can to keep them going.
How big is the venue there, Ron? Any
idea?
It's
about 275 seats.
Oh, okay. So decent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you not ever been to that?
I never have.
Oh,
really?
You must.
I never have.
But
it's a treat.
You're about to to come.
Oh no, I'm definitely going
to
come see this. I'm all over this stuff.
Right in here, folks.
But let's let people know how they can. It's the website is colonytheater.org, and theater has the R-E spelling, colonytheater.org. And of course, it's located 555 North 3rd Street in Burbank, California. The phone number for tickets, 818-558-7000. That's 818-558-7000. Colony Theater with an RE.org, and we'll throw that out before the end of the hour as well. And we're certainly not done talking to Ron, but just wanted to
get
that
out there. And one thing I want to add to that is the additional performances that have been added here for I'll Be Back Before Midnight are Friday, March 8th at 8 p.m., Saturday, March 9th at 3 and 8, Saturday, March 10th at 2, and we go on. But it does last through St. Patrick's Day on March 17th.
I got to say, I just saw this quote from Kansas City Star, which is great. Scream, laugh, scream again, and hang on to your seat. So you're screaming and laughing. Which
at the same time.
Yes, and hanging on to your seat, which I often do anyway.
Which
until
seat are
I'm
they
asked
talking
to leave.
About? Yeah. That's what I'd like to know.
You know, you reminded me of a story. One of my greatest friends in the world is a brilliant writer and a very funny fellow named Jeff Ayers. And Jeff and I went to high school together. And Jeff, at 14, made an entire movie theater full of people apoplectic with laughter. Because we went to see Death Trap. And I don't know if you remember for Death Trap, but one of the first scenes of two men kissing is in Death
That's
Trap.
That's right.
Because Christopher Reeve and Michael Caine. Mm-hmm. And Michael Caine has the line, something along the lines of, I don't want to be known as the fag who killed his wife. That's the line from the film. And Christopher Reeve turns and kisses him. And the theater, there's this intake of breath in the theater, and Jeff, who's sitting right next to me, says, Superman. That was it. The entire, just this little voice like, Superman, what's going on? Entire theater full of people just collapsed in hysterics. It just killed. It just
say
it, was
it
very,
ain't
very,
so, Superman.
Say, so Superman. You just howled. No. Very, very funny.
Very
just,
wrong.
You know, yeah.
Very wrong.
He's a very funny fellow, Jeff. Actually, Jeff was the one that we promoted that thing, the Dirty Laundry Lit, last week.
Yeah.
Jeff was the MC of that. But just you had me thinking about murder mysteries. There was a production of this production. I'm curious about it. I wonder why it took so long to get here. It's not specifically like a complex technically or anything like that.
Not terribly. I mean, there's some effects that
intricacies.
Yeah, that you know, lightning and thunder and glass breaking and stuff like that. It wasn't the easiest tech, but you know, it's not. You know, I've worked on many more complicated shows than that.
Yeah.
The thing is all in the mind. The it's sort of like Hitchcockian in that way. Oh. Which to
I beg
me
your
is,
pardon.
Can I say Hitchcockian on the radio? Apparently not.
Superman.
But you know, the suspense all is sort of psychological, and you know, is she crazy or not?
Like how much of this is she seeing, and how much
exactly?
Of this is
how much is out? How much of this is it in her mind? Did she really hear that? Did she really see that? And then the other character. Too, are they what they appear to be? They say, oh, he seems to be such a lovely, jolly fellow. Right. Maybe he isn't. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that's really unsettling and all stuff. Right.
Like
you
a
know.
Game of Clue.
I'm all over it.
You know?
Yeah. I love that.
And we had a wonderful director, David Rose, who's just a fantastic guy and really sharpened us and you know got us doing all the things actors need to do, like you know, listen to each other and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah,
you listen on stage?
Actually,
I was never taught that.
So what's
what
that like?
Are you from the blah, 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 my line school?
That's I teach at UCLA.
Yeah, I get it.
That only.
Ron, let me ask you something. You've done so much theater, so much work, and you've done a lot of musical theater. Is there a preference that you have? And would you rather be singing? And you played Tevye and Fiddler, and you in Chicago, and other such things?
I will say this. There's nothing quite like doing a musical. I mean, I love, because I've done a lot of those, I'm sort of always a bit relieved when I get to do a straight play, a comedy or a drama. My God, that's really, really special because I don't get to do that often. And I enjoy that change. But I find that then when I get back to a musical, like I've done Chicago so many times.
Right.
And when I come back to it, every time I hear that trumpet starting, wah, 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 you know, it just gets in my bones and I get the chills. And it's, you know, because music is so much deeper and more universal, I think.
Yeah. Well, you connect to the audience on so many more levels than you do with a spoken part.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I wouldn't say I prefer it, but I have a special place in my heart for that. Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever seen Ron do Amos Hart in Chicago.
I have
but
not.
What is astounding about it is that Mr. Cellophane is, you know, such a wonderfully understated song. Mm-hmm. And that to see him do that role and to see the production, and here's a production that has all of these spectacular, you know, production numbers and this all this flash and bells and whistles. And every night for that song to be the showstopper is a testament to Ron's performance. It was really, really great.
You're too kind, sir.
I didn't see it in the first time you did. I saw it in the Christie Brinkley one that came through just recently, and it was just—it was great. It was great. Really enjoyed it.
Yes, that's what I said.
Look at the time. Okay.
We had the pleasure of having John Kander with us a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
we did. Talked extensively about a show that actually Paul was.
I'm going to review today. Actually,
yes, going to review today.
Such a great composer.
Yes,
well, one of our.
And the song that Paul's referring to is in the show that.
And the world goes round. Yes.
Right.
One of production. And he did a fine job with it.
Yes, he did.
And
it was a very different spin on it.
Yeah.
As well it should be in that kind of a review.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. No, it held up very well. I had Ronnie in my head, of course, when I was watching it. It was probably inappropriate of me to stand up and say, No!
But I really don't want to be in your head. I don't.
Well,
can I get out of there?
It'll cost you.
Can I get the check?
It'll cost you. No, I am kidding, of course, about that in the production of And the World Goes Round. It was spectacular, as you will find out shortly when I review it. But before we get there, the show that Ronnie is in is called I'll Be Back Before Midnight by Peter Colley, and it is at the Colony Theater, website colonytheater.org, 555 North 3rd Street in Burbank, California, 818-558-7000, and actually, you are just a stone's throw from where our next guest show is.
That's correct.
The Grove Theater Center behind George Isay Park.
We could meet for drinks before the show.
Or during the show, like Ronnie did. Anyway.
And it's a great theater, ladies and gentlemen, Colony Theater. And it's, you know, the Colony Theater Company was founded in 1975 as a 99 equity waiver theater, Paul. Did you know that?
I did not.
That's right.
Now it's at 290-some-odd seats.
75, yes.
Gorgeous. And the city of Burbank is involved with that. And
yeah.
It's so wonderful. You pull into a parking lot in this big, beautiful Burbank center.
What exactly is that? A parking lot?
A parking lot, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They have them out here?
Multi-tier
parking structure.
Lot.
Yes, it's the best parking for any theater in Los
and
Angeles.
Boom,
really?
You park. It's like going to Arclight Hollywood. You know how convenient that is to go to the Arclight?
Yeah.
It's just the same way.
Okay.
Because
I know that's a little pet peeve of yours, because I remember when we went to the Cal State Northridge with the new theater. You were like, for the parking. You're like, what are you? Two buses and a rickshaw. What's this about? I just channeled Dangerfield.
Getting no respect.
I tell you, what's going on? Anyway, before we get to chat with Will and his show, you were an active theater goer this week.
I was. I had the pleasure of attending the opening of Cavalia. And I'm going to say this probably the way that I hope it's said. It's Odysseo, so it's Odysseo.
Odysseo.
Nice.
That's what I'm going to say.
Odysseo. Okay. And if you're wrong, Michael, you sold the shit out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Odysseo.
Well, there.
Sorry.
There you go.
Use an expletive.
Can you say that?
Yeah, it's the internet. You can say whatever the fuck you want.
Michael doesn't seem thrilled.
No, he doesn't like what I do, but there's no FCC. It's the internet.
But it does affect our ratings.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
we have to,
my
iTunes,
ratings.
iTunes.
Yeah, it doesn't affect you. No one thinks less of you. They just think less of me.
It's not true. They love you, Paul. Odysseo. Yes, Cavalia's Odysseo. Under the big tent, and I do mean big tent. It is a 10-story tent. In the length of a football field, it is 15,000 square foot stage. It features a real carousel and a magically appearing 80 1,000 gallon something. I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay.
All right. You have to go
Martini?
And see.
It's a big hat.
It has got three IMAX screens that are the backdrop.
Is this a permanent installation? Or is
it
this
is
a
not
travel?
A permanent installation. It is through March 24th.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. Yeah. Wow. And this is the fourth time that the show has been through Los Angeles, but not this particular edition of the show. It was my understanding last night. 60 horses. It is all about man and horses. Wow. And the power, you know, that's in those animals. And when they are this fit and trained to be doing what they're doing in this show, which is extraordinary to see them in a pack. Now, you don't see ever all 60 of them in a pack. But
right.
The ones that are used in a given performance are so thoroughly trained. When the curtain opens, which is a curtain that you can actually see through, and it's embroidered with trees and trunks of trees and the lighting and so forth. There's one scene where all of these horses are lying down. In this field of white sand.
Holy cow!
And they don't move. They are all stationary, like a photograph. And the curtain opens, and then one by one, they start just playfully waking up.
Oh, my
gosh. Turn over on their backs, if you have an animal.
That's animatronics. They're not real horses.
It's not.
They're not real horses.
It is something else.
Wow, that sounds pretty spectacular.
There is always someone on stage in a very discreet manner that is, working with them and speaking to them as well. But the attention that they pay, and they know who's the boss there. And when one of them gets a little frisky during any given moment during one of the big numbers, because it's a succession of their abilities as horses, what they are able to do, from different styles of riding to jumping to trotting to running, and it's all glorified by these sets and the lighting and the real people that are riding them.
Wow.
And I really never have seen anything like this before. I was just spellbound for 2 hours, and it was a 30-minute intermission, which is unusual, but obviously for obvious reasons, it was a longer intermission. But
it sounds like you probably couldn't wait for the show to start up again after that break.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the 30 minutes pass quickly because it's just you kind of sit there in stunned a little bit after the first act.
Like recovery
time.
What
you've just seen.
Mm, wow.
And there's this kind of the lights, come back up and everyone's just like not moving yet. Oh. And then they slowly get up in their seats and go out to the intermission. But it's truly something that, ladies and gentlemen, it's a family venture, that's for sure. And if you like horses on top of it, you're in for an amazing treat. And I started to say, when any of the horses get frisky, and there's one very beautiful, very young one amongst them who seems like he might be the new cast member, he takes a little liberty every once in a while, and it only takes one word from the trainer that is on site, and that horse is right back in. I think he's probably testing her a little bit. It was a female in this case last night.
She's an ingenue. What are you gonna do?
Exactly.
They're all the same.
But it is in the city of Burbank. So what synergy do we have going on there?
It's an all Burbank show today.
Yes. And tickets can be purchased online at Cavalia, and I'm going to spell that for you, Cavalia.net, or by calling 866-999-8111. And again, that is through March 24th. It is a spectacular, spectacular evening out with your family, or a great date night, or just alone if you happen to be enjoying the arts to this kind of a very magical degree, a la Cirque du Soleil. But
That I could say exactly that about what I attended.
Yes.
On a much smaller scale, no horses, and a much smaller venue. But we actually had two people on for this show. We had Kristen Towers Rolls on, and also the musical director and one of the performers, Joshua Eli Krantz, was
fantastic
here.
Joshua.
Yes,
Eli
unbelievable.
Yeah.
And this is the Candor and Ebb show and The World Goes Round, which is sort of all the great, well-known songs. But it's not necessarily that. You get to hear a lot of the lesser-known numbers.
Exactly.
And
jewels.
Right. And one of the things that I'm always a little hesitant when you stamp something with the word review, because you think it's just going to be, it's going to be thin, it's just going to be strung together, there's not going to be a narrative. And what I loved about this one is hearing some of these songs out of the context of the actual show. You have a whole new perspective on them just seeing them done that way. Mm-hmm. And a tiny little postage stamp stage, and the cast, you know, it always says, oh, it's a uniformly talented cast. But what they did in that room with that number of people, they just burned it down. Mm-hmm. It's just like the room just pulsed. And I have to call out all of the performers because they were uniformly excellent. Erica Han, Rahan Ball, Isaac Hayes, Emily King Brown, Ryan Rouge, if I'm saying his name properly.
You are.
Kristen Towers Rolls, and of course, Joshua Eli Krentz, who is the musical director and one of the performers in it. And I gotta tell you, Monica, my wife and I went, and Monica's not a big one for the musical thing. She could not say enough about it. And really, it was just, I wish I had some nitpicky thing to say about it, but I don't. They did a number of the songs that you know, and a lot of the ones that you don't know. But it just really, really exemplified what you can do on a tiny little stage. And it wasn't not a lot of bells and whistles. Really simple lighting, simple costuming. No, nothing extravagant. Mostly dictated by the space. But cannot speak highly enough of it. Really enjoyed it, and highly recommended. And not in Burbank, unfortunately. They were doing all Burbank
on the fringe.
But at the NoHo Arts Center, right on Magnolia.
Another great theater.
And I did not know that they had that little intimate space in there.
Yes.
And I always like to tell people, if you go over there, the great thing about NoHo, you park once, you can walk to. Great Pitfire Pizza is there. Eclectic Cafe is there.
Right.
Always got to pitch the evening and not just the
and
show.
And Truss and Bow is two doors down.
That's
from,
right.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Which is the new restaurant in town.
Bow and Truss.
Yeah. Truss and Bow is that place that you go to the other place.
To get cinched up before
yes,
I go out.
Yes.
The Federal, Sterling's is right there. There's all sorts of
great. Yes, Sterling. The Federal's right there.
Yes, Sterling's upstairs. Yes,
but you don't go to the Federal unless you're going upstairs to the Federal. Actually, that's not true. You should always eat at the Federal because now you can only get the fish and chips downstairs.
That's correct.
You are right, sir.
Really?
Well, good theater.
Yes. Oh, and let me, this is, I'm going to find the information for this.
You know, it's Plays 411. That's all they have to do.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, Plays 411. Yes.
To get tickets over the internet, and it's very simple. And you simply go online.
Oh, actually, you know, I do have it here, actually. It is four tickets for And the World Goes Round. Of course, this is at the NoHo Arts Center, 11136 Magnolia Boulevard in North Hollywood. And reservations, 323-960-4418. That's 323-960-4418. An enthusiastic thumbs up.
And you know, I must say just one thing about it, Paul, because I saw it as well. Be Wild About Music is the production company on this show, and it is their very first production.
Wow. Well, they hit it out of the
and
park.
To come out of the
awesome.
Gate with about 13, 14 rave reviews like that is very special, and it shows that everyone put in a lot of hard work.
And you know that thing that they have that my friend Jason writes for, Bitter Lemons.
Yes.
Bitterlemons.com.
Jason Rohrer.
And they have the percentage of sweet versus sour, 100% sweet. They have not gotten a bad review yet.
That's right.
Now, you say it's the small, there are. Is it the really small space?
49 seats.
Yeah. Oh, it's that little.
Seats.
Okay, wow.
It's a sweet space, though.
It's great. Yeah. You know, it's just I always feel like, you know, Monica and her pet gorilla in small spaces because I'm all knees and, you know, just packed in. So, but it was very comfortable and very nice.
And then their other space is a 99-seater, but it feels larger
It feels larger. You kept saying how small it was. I'm like, oh, no, I don't think NoHo Arts is that small.
Feels. Oh, there are more than two venues in there? Are there three?
There's the other one is a larger
venue.
The big space,
space. It's a big space, but it's only 99 seats.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
It's like the Met Theater. You get that same feeling in Hollywood, the Met Theater being so large. Yeah, that's only 99
seats.
All right,
cool. No.
Well, nice for you to get out and see some theater, Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why don't you give our next guest his due, Michael?
I will do that. Our next guest is not only one of L.A.'s most popular musical theater stars, having most recently headlined the 2012 Third Street Theater's production of The Full Monty, but he's also a familiar face on television. However, he's here today to talk about the other side of his successful endeavors as a performer in musical theater, and that is as a composer for musical theater. In particular, his work in Right Together, Left Together, on stage now through March 2nd. So, folks, you got to pick up the phone and call and get tickets here or go online when we tell you about that. And it is at the Grove Theater Center in Burbank. Please welcome Will Collier.
All right. Thank you.
How are you?
Thank you for
the
nice
introduction. I didn't know that you did bluegrass.
Yeah.
Well, he does now.
Yeah. Did you tell him we're in a cowboy shirt today?
Of course. What was I thinking?
Is that why you picked that
group? No, I'm just kidding. It's all I got. Well, we had 5 sound bites. Now we have 6 because we have yours, but we don't really have that much more going on.
Right.
So, much like I asked Ronnie O, if you don't mind, can you give us sort of a synopsis of this? And also, I'm not sure, but at some point during the interview, we may have a call in from your collaborator.
Collaborator, Pamela Eberhardt. Yes, yes. The book and lyrics for this very funny piece. Anyway, this is basically it's a comedy about 6 friends coming together for one of them is getting married. So there's the 7th. There's Zach, who sort of doesn't really fit in with the group of friends, but he's trying real hard. Mm-hmm. And Taylor, our hero, is the bride to be. And they're having the wedding, and hijinks ensue to steal my partner here. Basically, you know, first of all, a big storm hits, and then people start confessing their love for one another. They're all sort of trapped in the venue for the rehearsal dinner and drinking more than they should the night before a wedding. And
that always helps.
So like big chill without the suicide.
Is yeah, that yeah. No suicide. It's all in good fun, really. I can let Pam speak for herself when she calls in, but her influences are really, you know, like Will and Grace and like sitcoms.
I read that.
And
yeah.
Some Dawson's Creek in there. I mean, there's sort of like
sharp kind of witty repartee.
And it's really just about having a good time and the music. Hopefully, you know, my contribution to that hopefully reflects the good time to be had.
I think that's a perfect lead into perhaps playing the piece of music.
Oh, yes, let's do that.
Sure, let's listen to the show.
We'll give that a listen. This is a track.
It's called Black and White.
This is actually a demo that you have that you shared with us.
This is a demo we did a few years ago, when we're still developing, and we are still developing this show, but this was a developmental demo.
Okay, and it's just Black and White is the name of it?
It's called Black and White, yeah.
And the singing is being done by Mr. Collier himself.
This will be me.
Let's give this a listen.
Try to make sense of everything small, everything intense. They're black and white, and life is not. I play despite feeling shot. Everything's always right. Staring at the black and white. Their notes are lines. Long black lines on off-white paper. These notes on lines make songs. Our music doesn't ever make me feel wrong. So why can't I use these things to make everything better? Instead I like about life without the drought getting.
You got some pipes.
Yes, you do.
Yeah,
you got some wonderful hooks in that too. Right off the bat, it kind of grabs.
Has that altered significantly from that to how it is in the
Lyrically,
show now?
Lyrically, that has changed a little bit. That's a character Ryan who is in from California. The wedding is in New York, and he lived there. He was in this tight group of friends, and he's now living in Los Angeles with his boyfriend, and is back for the wedding. And he and the groom-to-be end up at a type of bachelor party kind of all by themselves, and something happens. This is at the end of Act 1, this song, and he's just there's a piano in this location. He's just sort of doing what the lyric says, staring at the keys, trying to make sense of and figure out what he's going to do next.
Kind of like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah. It's the cryptic show, though. We have 2 guests who can't really go into too much detail.
Yeah. I can tell you everything, but then, you know.
Yeah, then why go?
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're blushing.
I am.
You love pointing that out about people, don't you?
I certainly do.
He's painting a picture for radio.
Actually, he's just caught my rosacea. We're sitting very close. Michael, do you have the details on tickets for this, or do I have the details?
I do have the details
for tickets.
Yes, I do have the
details.
Before I forget. You also have it.
Do I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, right together, left together. Though we're not through speaking about it, and
not at all.
Hopefully, Pamela will be calling in shortly. Pamela Eberhardt. Mr. Collier's colleague, who wrote the Pamela wrote the book and the lyrics to the show, Right Together, Left Together. And for tickets, you go to righttogetherlefttogether.eventbrite, B-R-I-T-E, so that's eventbrite, one word, .com. It's a long address to go to, but that's the only way you're going to do it, so write it down.
You can also search us on Facebook. Search the event Right Together, Left Together
there you
on
go.
Facebook,
yeah.
And it'll pop up.
There you go. Yeah, through the Facebook.
Through the Faccio di Libro, as I say.
Yes.
And, of course, Grove Theater Center is 1111B West Olive Burbank. Also a nice little space. I like that little venue there. And it's easy to find. It's a little tough to find. So if you're on Olive itself, just look for the big plane. Because there's a plane in the George Isaac Park, and it's behind that.
And then look for the lit-up softball fields.
Yeah.
And then look for the building that looks like it might be the referee, you know, like the storage.
Yeah.
But it's actually a magical little theater, so it's once you find it, you know.
We actually have your co-creator on the line, I believe.
Good.
And there she is.
Hello, Pamela.
How are you?
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Thank you so much for joining us through the electric telephone. We thank you for coming.
Yes, thank you for having me.
And Pamela, you're out from New York, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're visiting.
Yes. Visiting a bit, yes.
Welcome to Los Angeles. And thanks for dropping in. So tell us
a little bit
about this collaboration. First of all, how did you and Mr. Will Collier meet?
Well, when I was 16, many, many years ago, Will and I were cast as Audrey and Seymour in a Jewish community theater production of Little Shop of Horrors.
I'm sorry, that's Little Shop of Horrors.
It's true,
Six Ronettes. There were six Ronettes. They were all 15-year-old girls from the Valley. It's great.
and we met and fell madly in love and decided to work on a musical together.
Oh, that's great. That's
a couple years went by before we were 16.
Yeah, I was a little older. I was a little more mature at that point.
Is there, may I ask this question? Is this particular musical that's up and running right now a work in progress? I know it's still a work in progress, but it is up and running here on its Los Angeles debut. Is this something that's based on your relationship with Will?
I mean, there's elements of our friendship and collaboration in the piece within the characters' relationships to each other, but there's a lot of fiction and spread throughout.
Pamela, is this your first attempt at book and lyrics? Have you done it before?
This is my first.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
This is my first musical that I've written.
Really? Oh, I really applaud that because I'm working on one myself, and I know that it's just... is the vulnerability factor when you do the book and the lyrics is right up there. So kudos to you for taking that
thank
risk
you.
And having,
thank you.
Having so much success with it. This
now, you haven't seen it if you just have come out. Have you just come out from New York, like today or yesterday?
Yes, I came out a couple days ago for a high school reunion.
Oh, really?
And also to see this production. I'm very excited to see how it's come together.
Well, I know there's some awesome talent in it. I know some of them, Emily Clark and...
Fabulous.
Her husband Bob is in it.
Bob Simpson.
And
Lucas Elefant.
And they've done this. They've played these parts for a few years, Emily and Bob specifically.
Oh, in another production?
They were involved in a workshop. Yeah, this is the first time that it's been put up on its feet without actors holding their scripts. It was always kind of like a few days of rehearsal, and let's throw it up and to help us develop the piece.
Right. Is it a fully flushed production, though, at this point?
It's somewhere in between the fully flush, and a workshop because it's so close. But
I thought it was fleshed.
Fleshed.
Am I wrong?
Fully flushed.
Oh,
flushed like
flushed?
Me.
Yeah, flushed.
Flushed,
flushed doesn't go
right.
as well.
No.
Is it fully flushed?
Fully flushed.
Well, I don't know. The reviews are.
I don't know. I might have to look that up.
I don't know.
It
is it fleshed? You could be right.
Fully fleshed.
It is fully
it
fleshed.
Is. I think so.
Okay.
Right.
I'm sorry.
I disagree.
There's no question.
It's okay.
You disagree?
Yes. I think, Michael, you said...
Pam, what is it? You're the deciding factor. You're not here. Is it fleshed or flushed?
I'm going to go with fleshed.
Thank
I'm gonna
you
go with
so
flushed.
Much.
It's a little more exciting.
That makes it four against one, so I guess I'm wrong.
Thank you. Sorry, Michael. All I have to say is this.
Nice.
Sorry. That's all I got.
If I hadn't I drew a lot of attention to it by saying it about 10 times after you did.
Well, no, it sounds, and you know, before I forget, it sounds great. It sounds very, very interesting. I want to put the information out there one more time. This is at the Grove Theater Center, 1111. 1B West Olive Avenue behind the softball fields. That's how I used to, when I did a show there, that's how I used to tell people. Just go behind the softball fields. And it's right together, left together, dot Eventbrite. Bright is BRITE.com. Or you can search for it on Faccio di Libra. Just go on Facebook and type it in there, which is a much easier way to go these days.
It's the Italian Faccio Facebook. Facebook.
Yeah.
A whole different place.
Yes.
Pam, Pamela, thank you for
You'll have to let us know after you see it, and then maybe you could call in and give us, well, we can't have her review it because she'll be biased, but maybe we'll review it. And, it's amazing. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. But thank you so much for taking time. We know you just landed, so we're grateful that you found the time to call in.
And boy, are her arms
tired. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm honored. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Pam. We're going to sign
and
up.
Best of luck on this run out here. Yeah. I know it only has
a few
more performances.
Take care. Take care. You guys have a good show.
Thank you, Pam.
Bye-bye now.
She's
nice
very sweet.
Lady.
I love Pam.
Yeah, she's very, very
I
sweet.
I love her, and she makes me laugh. I mean, writing a piece together has got its fair share of challenges. But
Let me ask you something. In the collaboration process,
yeah.
Being that you were friends to begin with,
mm-hmm.
did you have disagreements? Did
all
you see things differently? Did
all
it come to blows almost sometimes, or no?
Strongly worded emails.
Yeah?
Yeah, for
really?
Sure. For sure. Just about, even about like story points. And I shouldn't even be really, you know, sticking my nose in there, because here I am. I should just write music to support the story that she wants to tell. But she would give me drafts quite often, and I would respond with, you know, as best I know. I feel
drafts of your work?
No, drafts of the script.
Oh.
New drafts of the script and new drafts of songs that we would then go back and forth on. And it's never a fight. But we definitely have creative discussions.
But it's a strongly worded creative process.
I think as it should be, because we're both passionate about
you get the best stuff that way. You get the best stuff that way.
Yeah.
We have just about 3.5 minutes left, and one of the things we do at the end of the show, I don't know if either of you remember from the last time you were here, but we always like to ask people to if you have some sort of experience or some onstage mishap or something went wrong while they think about it.
Well, I know that Mr. Collier did.
I have a very easy one. Yeah.
Okay, throw that out while Ronnie searches his memory banks.
One of them.
All right, so Full Monty, opening night. We had, you know, like any show, tech was tech, and we were all of a sudden thrown a lot of things in the last few days before we went from an audience, including our strip costumes.
Okay.
That we, you know, this very sort of delicate number at the end of the show where we bare ourselves, covered by a hat. However, opening night, the previews went great. I got through it cleanly. There's like this little Velcro on the sides of the G-string that you pull off at the right time, and then you turn around, you put the hat in front of you, and then the lights blind the audience, and everybody has a good time. Opening night, my Velcro stuck. I yanked it. In yanking it and turning around at the same time, as the hat was supposed to come off my head and go down, it flew out of my hands. And about 4 feet downstage. And this was opening, so the press was there, and my family was there, and my agents were there, and everybody was there.
Oh.
And there
who
I was.
Who retrieved
and, you know,
the hat? Did you?
I did. I sort of just broke out of line and went down and grabbed it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And but just was bright beet red for the rest of the
did
show.
Did you just break out in a sweat at that point?
I mean, we just had to laugh. We just had to, everybody was just
That's one of those
hysterical.
Things.
Well, I know Shannon
thing.
Warren when she was on this show.
I
she rather
her.
Enjoyed that moment.
Yeah, that's
oh,
right.
She was in the audience.
She
yeah.
brought it up, actually. She brought it up.
It was Mike Seitel.
Really?
Really? Is she like
service.
One of the greatest singers
I
ever?
She is great.
Yes, she is.
Truly great.
Ronnie,
a nice lady.
You got
yes.
one for us?
You know, I was just thinking about one that was horrifying.
Similar to Will's?
Kind of.
Oh,
I was
my.
Playing Pseudolus in Forum.
Right.
And I was at the Denver Center. And, you know, I sweat a lot. And if you play a leading role in a musical, they will often give you two mics in case you sweat one out.
Right.
So I had like a mic on each side of my head, clipped into my hair, and a pouch, around my waist. Right. And invariably, I would have to come off and be, you know, you have like 30 seconds or a minute that you're off because you're on the whole time. And they had to change out a battery or something and then replace them into the pouch. Except they didn't. They missed the pouch. So I'm now on stage, and my head is pulled back. This the visual like, on this is really good, folks.
I could give you the visual. It's like the dog running off the porch and getting yanked back by the
tape. Exactly. Yeah. And I had to sort of do the rest of the act with them, and I would, and then of course whenever I came off, I would be like, "What the bleepity bleep bleep," you know, and making people very angry and hurt and upset with me because I was out of my mind.
Like the world's heaviest electronic dreadlocks.
That's exactly. How you're, yes, yes. Exactly.
There's an image. The two shows before we go.
Absolutely.
Ronnie's show. I'll be back before midnight. This is at the Colony Theater. Tickets 818-558-7000. ColonyTheater.org. Theater has the R-E spelling. And Right Together, Left Together. This is at Grove Theater Center. For tickets, go to RightTogetherLeftTogether.eventbrite. Bright is BRITE.com. Or look on Facebook by searching Right Together, Left Together. And Right Together goes through March 2nd. And I'll Be Back Before Midnight goes through March 3rd.
That's right. So 17th.
Oh, that's right. Extended. Thank you. Extended.
And The World Goes Round goes through March 10th only. So get your tickets for sure. And yes. Cavalier's Odyssey through March 24th.
Gentlemen, a pleasure having both of you on. Hope you had as much fun
as
we did.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, boys.
Always
a pleasure.
Michael, always a pleasure. And we'll see you on the
Paul.
Radio.
You bet.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.